We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to Brevard County. It is Monday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida, and we are blessed by God to be able to live in such a beautiful place and be His ambassadors for the kingdom of God right here in Brevard County. So, hi, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be diving into the Word of God today, like we do every Monday. And 1 John chapter 3, verse number 10 is where we are going to pick up. And I tell our congregation on a regular basis that God has selected them to be a blessing to Brevard County, and they're not God's leftovers, they're His A team. And part of the A team of businesses here in Brevard County is Treasure Your Landscape. They are been in a family-based business. They got over 20 years of landscaping business. I'm sitting here looking for a piece of paper, and I got it right in front of me. Dan and his team can be reached at 321-749-1432. They have a full array of products from landscape lighting and water features and landscape repair to landscaping services, artificial turf, paver installations, putting greens, you name it. They have a full array. They can handle everything from the design to the planting, the maintenance. Their goal is to transform your outdoor area into space your family will treasure. They also have Space Coast Nursery, 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1. Phone number up there is 321-452-5565. They are amazing at what they do. They are passionate about what they do. They are very, very good at what they do. And if you are, whether it's you're looking to do it yourself, where Space Coast Nursery might be the option you might look at, if you're looking for someone to come in and get it done quicker than you could do it, and you won't wake up with sore muscles or anything like that, Treasure Your Landscape could be the blessing that you are looking for. 321-749-1432. They love Jesus, and they're friends of the Refresh Radio program, as well as WMIE, and they may be the next great blessing you have in your life when it comes to handling your outdoor area upgrade. So, 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 10 is where we're going to be. We're going to read on down. Let's read on down to verse number 15, and that'll give us a good context. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested, or manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So that's where we're going to end the reading. So John writes here about noticeable feature differences between children of God and children of the devil. And you know, one of the things that we could approach this situation like is, you know, we could be looking at other people and examining their lives and saying, Are you of God or are you of the devil? And there's a lot of people, they do that, and they do it with the primary motivation of trying to make everybody else out to be less than what they're supposed to be. So if you're looking for faults, you will find them. They're everywhere. But I think a better way to approach this is to approach this passage of the Word of God, as the Bible describes in James, that the Word of God is a mirror. So that when we look at it, we see things in us that are supposed to be there, or we see things in us that the Bible says are not supposed to be there. So I'd like to invite you to come with me to 1 John chapter 3 as we look at the mirror to see if the reflection that is shown to us, because it says are manifest, are revealed. This is how we know. So it's a revealing. And on a home, those home improvement shows, a lot of times they do things which is, you know, I don't know if it's for dramatization effect or whether or not there's actually closer collaboration on the front end. But a lot of times they make it as if they are doing things to a person's house that the person has no idea about. And so they invite them back for the big reveal, you know, either move the sign or move the bus or whatever. And all of a sudden, the people see the house in its new upgraded condition. So what we see here in 1 John chapter 3 is how to distinguish between believers in God and unbelievers in God. And it's not by words, but it's by the actual manifestation, the things that are revealed. So it can be revealed in, you know, people say, if you want me to show you your priorities, I'll show you by your time and by your checkbook. Well, when it comes to the things of God, we are revealed by the nature of our heart and the actions that we do. So one of the things that I always find challenging is when they put two similar pictures side by side and they say, can you spot the differences? Well, this is not, 1 John chapter 3, this is not just a spot the differences out of curiosity or to see how observant we are. This is, can you spot the differences between the nature of Christ and the nature of us? We need to make sure that we are manifesting the characteristics of a believer. So, you know, whenever I go for a dermatological exam, you know, a lot of times they will ask me, you know, have you noticed any spots or differences? And a lot of times it's, have you noticed any spots or differences on your back? And it's like, I can't see there. There are things that might be going on back there that I have no awareness of, have no revelation of. And so I'm dependent upon an external expert to be able to identify things that are going on that I have a blind spot to. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as we look through 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 16, and reveal any blind spots to us that show areas that Jesus needs to work on and Jesus wants to work on in us. So we're not talking about personal preferences here. We're talking about actually revelations that expose who our spiritual father is, either God or the devil. So It says, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So we see here that if we are an unbeliever, we are going to be practicing a lifestyle of unrighteousness. If we are a believer, we are going to be living a lifestyle where we are practicing and producing actions that reflect compliance with the moral law of God, with the justice of God, and that we are going to be seen as innocent, free of guilt, because of Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. So our lifestyle is one of the first revelations as to who our spiritual father is. And righteousness is a gift. It is a state of being. It causes us to be in right standing with God. But it's something that is not without effort on our part. We are supposed to live the life of a person in right standing with God. So what are you practicing? I'm not pointing the finger of condemnation. I'm just asking the question, you know, the lifestyle that you live, does it remind you of the lifestyle that Jesus lives, or does it remind you of a lifestyle that needs Jesus to come in and do a home renovation, a spiritual home renovation? So the next point of revelation is this: nor is he who does not love his brother. So there are different levels of relationship. And so John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God loves the world. He loved us when we were at enmity with him, when we were hostile towards him. We didn't want to have anything to do with him. We fought against him at every turn. And God loved the world when it was unlovable. So here a couple of months ago, I was having I think I was preaching a message. And, you know, the Bible talks about the dynamics of a husband and a wife, and almost exclusively, not always, there is a passage that instructs older women to teach younger women to love their husbands. But primarily, the concept of loving is a frequent reminder to husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so I was sharing along those lines and said, but the wives also have the responsibility of being lovable. So we husbands are responsible to love our wives, to love them unconditionally, but the wives are supposed to also have this desire to be lovable, and that coin flip-flops when it talks about the instructions, the mandate to the women. So the mandate to the women is to respect their husbands. And I can tell you that there are people who think that men have the easy road. Some people think that women have the easy road. I'm telling you, the road that I'm interested in is the one that God has laid out for me. And so he can equip me with the grace that I need to represent him well on the journey that God has given to me. So I you know, people who are looking to compare, stop it. We're not supposed to compare ourselves with one another. We are supposed to compare ourselves with Jesus. That's a big enough challenge. So this is not about whether it's easier to be a man or easier to be a woman. The challenges are just different. And so the reminder to the women is to respect their husbands. Well, what does that mean for the husband? Well, that means that I am supposed to live my life in a manner that is respectable. And so we talked about the love that God has for the world, and then there's the love that exists between husbands and wives, one husband, one wife. And so there's a dynamic that is in play there. That relational dynamic does not extend beyond the husband and the wife. So, you know, the world talks about friends with benefits and all. Let me tell you what the Bible describes that as: sin. It describes that as immorality. It is something that is displeasing to God because it does not reflect the nature of the relationship, of a covenant relationship that God wants. And so, by the way, from a sociological standpoint, from all of the studies that they have ever done, if you want the leading metric as to whether a relationship will fail or not, I'm not saying that it's 100% accurate. I'm just saying that it is disproportionate in this, and that is, if you want a relationship to fail, And most people don't go in. They've actually deceived themselves into thinking this is going to make the relationship better, and it doesn't. It actually sets it up for failure. Premarital immorality or living together actually increases the likelihood that the relationship is going to fail. And it's not close. So I would highly encourage you, love your spouse the way that God wants you to love your spouse, and honor them. Treat them, you know, if you're not married, treat them honorably. And if you are married, treat them honorably. And that'll save you a world of heartache in the process. So then you move beyond the covenant relationship of husband and wife, and then you get into the what I'm going to call the familial, the family dynamic, and that is where we love one another. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And so we treat, you know, I call my father more than I call just about anybody else. The person I can talk to the most is my wife. The person that I call next would be my family relationships, and that would either be my children or it would be my siblings. There's both of those relationships, and those are family relationships. And I have a love for them and would do anything for them. It's the same type of love that I have for the family of God. I love people. I want all people everywhere to hear about the goodness of God and that God loved them so much he sent his son to reconcile that fractured relationship to himself, to heal the breach. So I want everybody to have that love. There are, you know, people that I'm related to by blood and related to by my spiritual father that I love dearly. That I would love them with my last breath. One of the great heartaches of being a pastor, so I'm going to throw this out there because it might be informative, it might be a snapshot to people who are not pastors, that pastors who've prayed for people, counseled people, loved on people, and then they look up and those people are nowhere to be found anymore because of choices they've made. That is one of the heart-wrenching aspects of the ministry, because we were fully involved in loving them the way that Christ told us to. Does that mean we've stopped loving? No, the Bible says that we are supposed to love our enemies. And so there are different expressions or different manifestations depending upon the relational dynamic that you have. And so if I'm going to love an unbeliever, one of the things that I'm going to do, I'm going to be pretty much restricted. I'm going to be able to love them by telling them about Jesus, and I'm going to be able to demonstrate that love by meeting, you know, felt needs that might arise in their life. Be there for them when they're facing challenges. Love for brothers and sisters in Christ says, you know what, I'm gonna love them the way that Christ loved me. But this is not just about meeting a need. This is about, hey, we're family. So at Merit Assembly of God, we don't have a lot of people who are related to one another by blood, but we try very intently to have a family dynamic, because we've all come from the pits of sin, and our Heavenly Father is the same Heavenly Father. We're family. Not by genetics, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. So unbelievers don't even love each other. They don't love their brothers. They're in this love-hate relationship where, you know, the only thing that they have is their rejection of Christ is their thing. And then it manifests with different strongholds that they have in their life. But make no mistake, push comes to shove. They will push you out of their life if they have to for their survival. So loving the brothers and sisters in Christ, loving believers is an indicator that our heart is right with God, that God's our Father. So what it goes on to next is, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So that's never changing. Never changing. It goes on and it says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, here that would be referring to the devil, and murdered his brother. So we can see here that not only is it practicing righteousness, but it is also that we value life. We value life. That is very important. So I want to do everything I can to set people on the path of life, which is straight and narrow and few on it, than the path of destruction, which is got very broad gates, and it's got a lot of people on it, and they're headed to their own demise. So we do not go around, and Jesus said, it's not just that you don't, you know, we're not around going around killing one another, but instead that we don't even harbor anger towards one another. And folks, if there's anything I've learned over the past few years, and I've learned quite a few things, but it is this, that anger is very sneaky. And it's very, very good at finding little nooks and crannies in our personality and our existence where it camouflages itself so that we don't even really know that it's there. So, we don't look around at one another and say, hey, you know what? You made a good choice. I made a bad choice, and I'm going to deal with the consequences. The world's solution for that is you made a choice that is different from mine. Therefore, I need to remove you from the equation. God even warned Cain. He said, look, if you make the right choices, you're going to get the same results that Abel did with the sacrifices that he made. He sacrificed by faith. But if you don't make the change, then sin is lurking at your door. And so I want to go through this passage so that we know that all we are is one decision away from God changing us from being children of the devil, you know, being governed by our sin nature and being radically transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ to where we're the children of the Most High God, to where we are able to love people because Jesus lives inside of us and he makes it possible for us to love people. God is love. He's the only source. You can't buy it at Walmart. You can't buy it on the internet. You can't get it shipped to your house. The only source of genuine, authentic love is from the heart of God. So I advise us to choose well. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Now, this is the thing I know about the works of darkness. They don't like to be exposed. Evil is something that is displeasing to God. We don't want that. We want to show God that we want to do life the way that he wants it done. So if you ask people, well, what is evil? Well, evil are people who are worse than I am. That's what the world would say. In actuality, evil is that which displeases God, that which God has disapproved of, and doesn't want us to do that. He knows that that is destructive to life. It does not result in fruit that it's going to last. Not going to make us better. It's going to make us worse. It's not going to bring glory to God. It's going to bring shame and guilt upon us. I pray today that if the word shows an area in your life you need to fix, you fix it. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Oh.